Good morning and welcome to Calvary Free Presbyterian Church, Northern Ireland, and especially welcome to our Children's Day. Now, as we are not currently meeting in the church building, this is an online service, and we really do miss having the boys and girls sitting here in these pews, the parents and the friends of the congregation gathering in for this very special Sunday in our calendar. But we have put together a very special programme where we're looking back over the last few decades of our Children's Day. And therefore, we're going to start with a welcome poem, and Abigail King is going to welcome us to Children's Day. And immediately after that, we're going to have our opening hymn, Come to the Saviour, Make No Delay.
Welcome. Thank you so much for coming. Please listen to what we will say. We trust you will find a blessing on this, our Children's Day. Each child has practiced very hard. The teachers have been toiling too. So that glory is brought to the Lord, and God's love is shown to you.
What a wonderful note to start on. Come to the Saviour. We'll stand after that introduction and lift our voices unto the Lord. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Our gracious Lord and our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee in our Saviour's precious and worthy name for the privilege we have to come before thee and to worship thee this day. We do thank thee for the return of the Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for that day set aside in seven where we can worship thee. We do pray, Lord, that you'll bless us as we watch over these past Children's Day singings and poems. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts, Lord, even though these words were spoken and sung many years ago. We thank thee, Lord, that you can take them and apply them by thy Spirit. We do pray, Lord, that you will encourage us as we watch, and Lord, that you will be pleased even to save precious souls. We pray for the one who bring thy word, remember our brother, Chris Killen. We pray, Lord, you'll bless him as he ministers at the end of our service. And we do pray that this will be a very special day in the family of God. Lord, save souls, we pray. Encourage those, Lord, who just need a touch from God today. And for God's people, bless them abundantly. We thank thee that there's no friend like Jesus. He's the one who truly cares and understands. Bless us now, we pray, and watch over us in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. In this first set of videos, we're going back to the 80s and to the 90s. And we're going to see different songs and poems that were done back then. But before we start with our courses from 1982, we do have a special video message from the Reverend McCrae.
I'd like to thank the Reverend McKee for the honour given to me to be a participant in this special Children's Day. Certainly a Children's Day like no other, but it will be special in its own right. I look back over 50 years. I remember the establishment of the work on Mullaboy Hill, when God called out of people to take a stand for the glorious gospel outside the camp for the glory of his name. Thank God from that early mission, when many souls were saved, God started to give us boys and girls to join us in our Sunday school. And that work continued and thrived. And through that Sunday school, many boys and girls were gloriously and wonderfully saved. Many became the very heart and core of our congregation, many with us to this day. Our Sunday school teachers, our children's meeting workers, our committee members, our elders. Workers together in the cause of Christ, coming through our Sunday school. And then I think of Children's Day. What a special day in our calendar. I can still see those little boys and girls standing up there, their faces radiant, on their Sunday best, so pleased to be a part and participating in our Children's Day. The little solos, the duets, the trios, or the big choir singing. All of those little children blending their voices together in those lovely choruses. All about Jesus. Because you see, we were very particular. We had to present in our Children's Day the message of the gospel because a little child shall lead them. And even through some of those little children, others were brought to know Jesus too. And families were brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. What a blessing. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith that takes a hold of the promise which God has made. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I bless God to this day. Our little children in Macrofelt are hearing that same old gospel news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he's able to save them too. Will you pray for that then? Many years ago, a professor was asked the question, what was his greatest discovery in life? And he said it was this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I want to conclude my little contribution with a verse of that lovely children's hymn, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are. He is.
tells me so. The Bible tells me so.
And in our Sunday school, the boys and girls are simply taught the Bible verses, all about Jesus, praying that they will come to saving faith in his redeeming blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God bless you this Children's Day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Shining, visit with a grin, smile.
sun shining, visit with a grin. Open up your heart and let the sun come shining in. If I forget to say my prayers, the devil jumps with glee. But he thinks so awful, awful when he sees me on my knees. So if you're full of troubles and you never seem to win, then just open up your heart and let the sun come shining in. So let the sun shine in, visit with a grin. Smilers never lose, frowners never win. So let the sun shine in, visit with a grin. Open up your heart and let the Savior in.
Have courage to say no. You're starting today in life's journey, alone on the highway of life. You meet with a thousand temptations, each city with evil is rife. This world is a stage of excitement, there's danger wherever you go. But if you're tempted in weakness, have courage, my boy, to say no. Be careful in choosing companions, seek only the brave and the true, and stand by your friends when on trial. Never change the old for the new. And when by false friends you are tempted, the taste of the wine cup to know, with firmness, with patience and kindness, have courage, my boy, to say no. The billiard saloons are inviting, decked out in their tinsel and show. Should you be invited to enter, have courage, my boy, to say no. The discos are also before you, their lights how they dance to and fro. Should you be invited to enter, do you have courage, my boy, to say no. And courage alone lies your safety, when you the long journey begin, and trust in the Heavenly Father, who will keep you unspotted from sin. Temptations will go on increasing, as streams from a river let flow. But if you are true to your Saviour, you'll have the courage, my boy, to say no.
Amen.
When I feel disheartened, forsaken, forgotten, Jesus is precious to me. In every condition, He's my physician. Jesus is precious to me. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. He is my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. He comes.
Come rain or shine, I'm sure I'm right in thinking that we all of us possess a mac and an umbrella. I'm sure the answer's yes, for well we know without them it really would be unwise. For God sends rain and plenty from His ever-changing skies. You see, He doesn't promise full of sunshine every day, but He does say, come rain or shine, I'm with you all the way.
Thank you.
names. Our parents gave us each a name. They chose them carefully. Perhaps the name of someone who was in their family. Some names just sounded pleasant, or they thought them neat and small. There was no special reason why they chose some names at all. But Bible names were different. They had meanings, and they told just what a person would be like when he was grown and old. But no one has such lovely names as Jesus has been given. He is the Saviour by whose death our sins may be forgiven. He is the bread of life to men, the shepherd kind and good. He is the way that leads to heaven, the light upon the road. And in the book of Proverbs, God declares he is a friend far closer than a brother who will love us to the end. What should we do without our friends who help us on our way, who love us and defend us and forgive us every day? But what would life be like without the greatest friend of all, who died for us, supplies our needs, and answers when we call? We want to talk about this friend here in his house tonight, and hope that he will speak to you through what we have to say.
The year 2018 was a very special year for this congregation. It was the 50th anniversary of the commencement of the work here on Mullaghboy Hill. That year we gave thanks to the Lord and had a special gospel mission. And during our Children's Day, we looked back in poem over those past 50 years. Here's Wesley Brown and some helpers doing this poem, 50 years.
The old hands of time move swiftly along, and it's our Children's Day once more, and the boys and girls of Calvary Free are ready to take to the floor. To sing and recite and read from God's Word, they've prepared for you a treat. As this year is special, let me tell you why, so sit right back in your seat. It's hard to believe that it's 50 long years from the first mission here on the hill. July 21st, 68. Since that time, memory books have been filled. The people came out to an old khaki tent with holes through which water fell in. But they didn't care, for the word of the Lord told the people of the answer to sin. They sat on the grass behind that old tent to pray to the Lord up above, for they needed the power to proclaim the word and to tell of the Saviour's great love. Many souls were there saved, many homes rearranged, and the singing was mighty then too. For the Lord had come down on Mullaghboy Hill. These were days of revival, 'tis true. Later on they erected a wee wooden hall with no windows for folks to see out. It was set up on blocks with the wind through the cracks. I assure you no pride was about. Then in year 69, the believers were told that the hall had to leave Mullaghboy. So they gathered together and built a tin hut, and its opening brought God's people joy. After some years of blessing in this little hut, a more permanent building was planned. to sit on the site of Moloch by Hill and happily take a stand for the old-fashioned gospel as our forefathers did in defence of the Bible too, though the clouds of declension were hovering around, keeping faithful till their days were through. Well, it's now 40 years since they first turned the key, and God's grace has helped us to stand. Since these doors have opened, many thousands have heard the sweet story of salvation's plan. We have gathered in good times, there have days that were sad, but we have witnessed the strength of our God. There is no power of hell, there is no scheme of man that can stop the spread of his word. There's a text up above every preacher that stands in the pulpit of this church today. What a challenge it brings to be faithful to him, lest God's woe be declared on this way. For the lost soul of man needs to be warned of their sin and the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Let us tell of his love that brought Christ from above. Preacher, tell it again and again. From our humble beginnings, from a tent to a hall, to a hut and now in this place, from a youth with a Bible coming over the hill with a message of God's marvellous grace, we rejoice God is raising a band of young men that are taking the gospel as well. There's Ryan and David, Morris, Stephen and Ian, with others getting ready to tell that there's power in the blood, there's deliverance from sin, there's salvation so rich, full and free, and we're longing that others will join our ranks. They're depending on you and on me. So let's offer him full surrender of heart and be ready his great work to do. For life is so short and our days soon will pass. Just a blink and your life will be through. Friends, the children before you have been raised on God's word, for the teachers have taught them the way, that Jesus alone is the Saviour of men, and the promise is still for today. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, for tomorrow can just be too late. What a sorrowful end if your heart you won't bend, and you're shut outside heaven's gate. I trust you've been blessed with our words and our hymns that have pointed to our living Lord. We've only one message. It's all about him, and it's grounded in his precious word. If you know other children that still have not heard of Jesus and his love for all, please tell them they're welcome at Calvary Free and pray they will answer God's call. But it's time for me now to make our appeal for your money to help us get through, for it takes lots of cash to pay all the bills and continue his work we must do. So the boys are all ready to pass you the plates, as down the aisles they will go. Fill them up to the brim. Don't be shy. Drop it in. Make it quiet. Set their faces aglow. Yes, your fresh notes are welcome, not forgetting your checks. Make them out to Calvary Free. Oh yes, we'll be down to the bank for sure. Get them cashed for the children with me. To hear the glad tidings of God's saving power, there's no telling what Jesus will do. Through your gifts of love in reaching the lost, heaven's blessing can rest upon you. As I finish my story, it's my earnest prayer that the future will grow brighter still, that God in his mercy will give us the kids, keep the light burning bright on the hill. It's these little tots that must lift up the torch, run for Jesus in these closing days. For the Saviour is coming, I believe it is soon, may they faithfully walk in his ways. So thank you again for coming today. Travel safely as you journey home. And if it is possible, return back again and tell others, lots of others to come. I assure you the doors here on Moloch by Hill will be open to preach God's good word. We'll still sow the seed, knowing harvest will come as we tell of our wonderful Lord.
There's a place dear to me, and I'm longing to be with my friends in that old country church, where with Mother I went, and my Sundays were spent with my friends in that old country church. Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be my friends in the old country church. Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be with my friends in the old country church.
We do want to welcome you once again, and we thank you for joining with us online, and we pray the Lord will bless you through this service. We just want to make the necessary announcements for the rest of today and the incoming week. Tonight at 7 p.m. we have our evening gospel service, which once again will be our children's meeting evening service. We will be looking back at different songs and different poems from the past few decades. And we'll also have our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, bringing us the word once again. On Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. we have our Bible study in the book of Philippians. On Thursday evening then at 7 p.m. our overview of the books of the Bible series. And this week we're in the book of Ezra. Saturday at 8 p.m. is our final youth fellowship broadcast for this season, so please do join us for that special meeting. Then next Lord's Day at 12 noon, family worship, and 7 p.m. our gospel evening service. We do want to remember those who've been bereaved in this past week. We remember the Weir family and the passing of Gwen, the Wilkinson family on the passing of Violet, and the Stewart family on the passing of Leslie. We also want to say a huge congratulations to Desi and Margaret Cahoon. They were married 50 years on the 20th of June. And I mention that because theirs was the first wedding conducted here at the church. And we celebrate with them in the goodness of the Lord and the many years that they have had together. We pray the Lord will bless them in the years that lie ahead. Our prayer requests for this week, the Reverend and Mrs. Hannah in Spain and Joyce Walsh, a children's worker here in Northern Ireland. As you know, we are continuing to broadcast our services online, but our first service in the congregation will be on Thursday the 16th of July, and that's going to be our prayer meeting, and that will take place here in the main church building. The Sunday services will recommence on Sunday the 2nd of August. If you need to get in touch, then please do feel free to phone, message, Facebook Messenger or email, and the address is shown here on the screen. We're now going to go back to our programme, and this time we're going to the 2000s, and we do pray the Lord will bless you as you watch the songs and the poems from this time. At the end of this block, we're going to have our brother Chris Killen bring us a message that the Lord has laid in his heart.
never be afraid, though my path with thorns be overlaid. For the Lord my strength and song will be, by his grace I'll follow constantly. I will trust till faith is lost in sight, for his love makes all my pathways bright. Jesus bids all anxious doubting cease, still he keeps my heart in perfect peace. When the way before I cannot see, I just ask my Lord to pilot me. I can face the future undismayed, trust in him and never be afraid. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2.
There is a God who knows your name. There is a God who feels your pain. There is a love holding out for you. Don't turn away, let him love you. 'Cause he loves you with a passion and in his raging fire. From eternity to eternity, you are his heart's desire. And if you could for a moment glimpse the hugeness of his heart, you'd see how he simply loves you. There is a God who knows your name. There is a God who feels your pain. There is a love holding out for you. Don't turn away, let him love you.
Thinking, have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about? Why you're here and where you're going when your lease of life runs out? Maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me ask you kindly, have you thought about your soul? If you've never thought it over, spend a little time today. There is nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole. In the name of Christ the Saviour, have you thought about your soul?
Prayer. Trouble and perplexity drive me to prayer, and prayer drives away perplexity and trouble. Please pray for me, my friends. I need your prayers, for a burden pressing hard and many cares. Pray too that Christ will make of me the Christian that I ought to be. Do pray for me, my friend, at morning hour, that I may not be overcome by Satan's power. That mid the world and maze of things, my soul may drink of hidden springs. As praying each week shall will come true, of which my Lord and Master speak. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. With pure joy my friendship share, and in the fellowship of prayer.
Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. danger that can now affright me. I will rest secure whatever betides, and His peace has filled my heart o'erflowing. There my soul forever will abide, carried on the shoulders of the Shepherd. No more on the mountains will I roam. My home, sweet home.
There are two ways built for little feet. That's the Bible story. The broad way is with danger filled. The straight one leads to glory. Which way?
But everyone needs a Savior. He can save us all.
Don't think you're too big or too little. Just come as you are to the Lord. He promised that whosoever will shall be saved. That's here in His Word.
Romans
chapter 10, verse 13.
Oh, thank bread and musical, all creatures great and small. All things bright and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. The purple headed mountains, the river running by, the sunset on the morning that brightens up the sky.
It's a real privilege to join with you today at your special Children's Day services. I'd like to thank the Reverend McKee for the invitation to come and to bring God's Word, and also to your Sunday School Superintendent, to Mr. Roy Campbell. Trust indeed that God will bless the work that is done here at Calvary Free Presbyterian Church. Now, I brought some objects along with me and some pictures to help me with today's Bible lesson, boys and girls. And I trust indeed that God will speak to our hearts. Just first of all, I'd like to read some verses, and we're going to turn in our Bible. So if you have your Bible with you there at home, if you'd like to turn to 1 Kings and the chapter 17, just going to read a few verses together. And here we're reading about Elijah. And we read here in verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank off the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Amen. And we trust indeed that God will bless his word to our hearts this day for Jesus' sake. Just going to bow briefly and momentarily in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for all that our ears have heard already and that our eyes have seen. We thank thee for the excellent program and for the boys and girls and the young people here at the church. And we pray, Lord, that early in life that these young and little ones will come to saving faith in Christ. And we thank thee for those who do know and love thee. We pray that thou wilt bless them. And Lord, that thou wilt encourage their hearts. We pray that you'll open up the word of God to us now. Speak to each and to every waiting soul. It is our desire above all that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen and amen. Well, as I say, boys and girls, I've got some visual objects along with me today to help me with today's Bible lesson. And the first object that I have is a set of binoculars. Maybe you've got a set at home. And binoculars, of course, are used by lots of different people. Well, I wonder, can you guess, or do you know, what an ornithologist would use binoculars for? Well, an ornithologist is someone who studies birds. The term ornithology is that term. Of course, there are many different types of birds. Maybe you have a pet bird or a favourite bird. It might be a budgie, a parrot, some type of finch, a crow, a seagull. There's pheasants, there's magpies, there's owls, lots and lots of different types of birds. In fact, do you know that there are over 30,000 varieties of birds? Well, in the Bible, we find that we read in God's word about birds, and we find birds mentioned there on many occasions. In fact, in the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 8, we read, "But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, for they shall tell thee." And there God is saying to us, the birds, they have a lesson. There's wonderful truths that you and I can learn. In fact, we read about two birds in particular in the book of Job, and it is the chapter 39. And here in Job chapter 39, we read about these two birds. Let me just read here. It says here in the verse 13, the first bird here mentioned is talking about the peacock. "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich?" There's the second bird that's mentioned, "which leaveth her eggs in the earth and wormeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them." And here we have the first mention of a bird, and it is the ostrich. And here, as we think about the ostrich, this bird that's mentioned here in Job chapter 39, we find that the ostrich, boys and girls, it's a very large bird. In fact, it's around about 8 feet tall and grew up to a very big height. And although it's one of the tallest birds, it's also one of the most foolish. Because as we read there, the ostrich doesn't lay her eggs in a nest. Rather, the eggs are placed upon the ground. And the Bible tells us there that the ostrich is a very foolish bird, because the eggs are placed there in the ground and they can be easily trod on. They can be crushed and broken. And of course, an animal can also come along and can eat them and destroy them. And so the ostrich is not a wise bird. And God's speaking to us already. And God's saying to us, boys and girls, don't be like the ostrich. Don't be unwise. No, you and I, we need to be wise. In fact, we need to be like the wise man that built his house upon the rock. The foolish man, of course, built his house upon the sand. But we need to be wise unto salvation. We need to be thinking about the things of God. And we need the Lord to give us wisdom. Thank the Lord, even as we come before him today, we're able to pray that the Lord would teach us and give to us heavenly wisdom. And so today, this morning, what I want us to do is to look at some birds that are mentioned in the Bible. And we're going to look at quite a number of them. And here is the first one, and it is the raven. Now, when we think about the raven, it reminds us of our position before God. And we would refer to the raven here in Northern Ireland as the crow, or maybe a grey-backed crow, the raven. Well, we were reading in 1 Kings and the chapter 17, how that the Lord sent Elijah to the brook Cherith. And the Lord was preparing Elijah for a great ministry and for a greater work. And so the Lord sent them there. And we find there that the Lord sent the ravens along to Elijah. In fact, when we think about the raven, we are reminded that it is an unclean bird. And I'm sure that you have seen a raven, perhaps in a field near you, or somewhere down your street, and you've seen the crow, you've seen the raven there. It's not a very attractive animal. In fact, the Bible tells us it's an unclean bird. God's people, they were not allowed to eat it. It wasn't on the menu. In fact, it's an unclean bird. And when we think about the raven, it reminds us about our sin. You think of the colour, the black colour, they're reminding us about the darkness of our hearts and the very fact that we are sinners. Now, ravens are very selfish birds. In fact, whenever they're eating, you'll find it, they tend to gather up the food for themselves. They fight over the food. And sin also is a very selfish thing. And when we think about the word sin, S-I-N, I is in the middle. Because when we're thinking about that raven, it's a sinful, it's a very selfish bird. And we think about sin, it's a very selfish thing. We're just thinking about ourselves and our own needs and our own desires and what we want. Now, the raven is also not only an unclean bird, and we think of its character, but also its cry. Have you ever heard a raven? Now, I'm not going to make a lot of bird sounds and noises today, so you don't have to worry about that. But it makes a great squawking sound. It makes a great terrible squeak. A while back, I was lying asleep in bed, and very early in the morning, I could hear all the, out our back, I could hear all the beautiful finches and the different birds, and they were chirping, and it was like a melody of sound, and it was wonderful to listen to. And then this great squawk started. And I thought to myself, what is that? What type of bird? And I looked out, and there was the raven, a great big crow, and he was blasting out, making this terrible shrieking sound. It wasn't very nice at all. It certainly wasn't a nice harmony with the other birds. And yet, despite its cry and the noise that it makes, this bird has confidence to know that when it cries, it will receive food. It will be answered. Boys and girls, what a great lesson. That although we are sinners, and though we've broken God's laws and fallen short of His glory, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have this great confidence that when we seek the Lord, we shall find Him. So the raven there reminds us about our sin. I better put this raven up here. I'll just set it beside me here in the pulpit. Now, I wonder, can you guess the next bird? Well, it was mentioned already in our reading in Job chapter 39. And it is the peacock. The peacock. In fact, let me just read the verse again. I'll find it here very quickly. Job chapter 39. And let me just see here the words of verse 13, where we read there, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks." Did you give them? Did you make them? Of course not. God made the peacock. God gave to the peacock her beauty. And when we think about the peacock, I'm sure that you have heard the saying about someone, well, they are as proud as a peacock. And you look at the peacock here with her feathers out, and it's as if the peacock's saying, just stretching out her feathers. Oh, look at me. How beautiful I am. Look at how wonderful I am. And when we think about the peacock, it reminds us about our pride. You see, the peacock has nothing to boast in of herself because God made her what she is. God gave to the peacock her beauty. And we have nothing to boast in ourselves because we are sinners and we've fallen short of God's glory. That reminds me, boys and girls, about a story in the Bible, a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the publican, and the two of them going into the temple to pray. And we read about that in Luke chapter 18. Now the Pharisee, the religious man, he was full of pride. Being a Pharisee, he had on him the robes of religion. He pretended that he knew God. On the outward, everything seemed really well. But inwardly, sadly, the Pharisee was one who was far away from God. And we read about this Pharisee in the parable. We read about it in verse 11 and 12 of Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus for himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And there was the Pharisee standing proud like a peacock. Oh, look how wonderful I am. In fact, he looked down at the poor old tax collector, the publican, and it's as if he was saying, well, I'm not like him. Oh, I'm much better. I'm such a good person. And the Bible warns us about pride. Because boys and girls, and mums and dads, and to all who are listening, we have nothing to boast in. Because our sin has separated us from our God. Then here is the next bird that we're going to look at. And this one here is the partridge. And the partridge, we think of the partridge. Boys and girls, I think about the word peril. Now, peril means danger. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 20, we read, now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Now, King Saul was very jealous of David. In fact, he was so jealous that he wanted to have David put to death. And so King Saul tried to, and he thought about the task of finding David. And David fled from Saul. In fact, he ran away. He hid in many places. We read how he went to the cave and the mountains. And David spoke about being hunted and in danger, just as the partridge is in danger and hunted. And he basically said, I'm hunted like the bird, like the animal that the hunter is seeking to take its life. That's just like my life. I'm in great danger. Boys and girls, we are in danger. And the Bible warns us about the result of our sin. That our sin has separated us from God. But what's more, our sin must be paid for. The wages of sin is death. And so, we are in great danger. Danger of meeting God unprepared, not saved. Danger of being lost in hell forever. What danger. We are in as sinners. And the Bible speaks to us that we're like the partridge that is hunted. Right. Here's another bird, and I'm just going to set it up here. And this time, we have the pigeon. And the pigeon reminds us about the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. You see, in the Old Testament, we read how God taught his people about sin and how serious sin is before him. God is holy. And we are sinful. And God hates sin. And God must and God does punish all sin. In fact, the Lord, speaking to his people, said to them that when they came before him, they were to come to a special place called the altar, and they were to bring the sacrifice. Now that was usually a lamb. And the person there coming to worship God was to bring that lamb. He was to take his hand and he was to place it upon the head of the lamb. And God said that when the man done that, he viewed it, that the man's sins were now being transferred to the lamb. The lamb then became the substitute. And as the man's sins were laid upon the lamb, well, the lamb had to die. For the wages of sin is death. Sin must be paid for. God just can't overlook it. No, it must be paid for God is holy and he is righteous and he is just. So the lamb became the substitute. But if a person could not afford a lamb or a goat, then they were able to bring a pigeon or a dove instead as a sacrifice. In fact, we read that Joseph and Mary, they brought pigeons to the temple to offer as a sacrifice. We read about that in Luke chapter 2. Now the animal, whether it was a lamb, a goat, a pigeon, the lamb, the animal, the pigeon had to die. Sin brings death. Boys and girls, the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary. He became our substitute. He died in our place. Our sins were laid upon him. He shed his precious royal blood. He died that we might live. And there is only one way to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the pigeon reminds us about the penalty of sin. Thinking about the Lord Jesus, in particular, we have the dove here. And the dove speaks to us about peace. About peace. And I'm sure that you have seen the image or a picture of a dove. Maybe you've seen a dove outside. When we read about the time whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came to be baptized. In fact, we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world. The one who is the very Prince of Peace and the Prince of Life. And he came, why? That he might bring us to God, reconcile us to God. That you and I, as sinners, might be brought to God and brought into that relationship with God. Brought into peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just moving along today in our story, we also, in our lesson, we have the mother hen. And it reminds us about the plea of Christ. I remember hearing, boys and girls, quite a number of years ago, the story about a farmer who had gone out into his field and into his land. There had been a great fire that had just swept through the whole area. And his livestock, his animals were killed. The vegetation, the trees, everything was burnt down. It was burnt to a crisp. There he went, viewing what had taken place. As he went there across his land, he noticed the burnt remains of a mother hen. And he went over to it and he tapped the mother hen with his foot. He just flicked her over. And out from under her wings came 10 little chicks. You see, the fire came raging through that area. But the mother hen brought her little chicks under her wings and she died. That they might live. That reminds us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he died on the cross at Calvary. And paid the price for sin. Becoming our substitute. Why? that we might come under his wings and that we might live. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And there the Lord Jesus Christ, full of compassion and love, looking over the city of Jerusalem, wept because the people wouldn't come under his wings, under his protection. And sadly, many perished in their sin. But you know, today, as our lesson really comes on or draws on to a close, I just want to, in closing, think about one bird in particular. And it speaks of the Christian. And it is the eagle. And when we think about the eagle, it reminds us about the power of God. You see, the lion is said to be the king of the jungle. Well, here is the king of the sky, the eagle. There's no bird like it. And God says, you and I as Christians are like the eagle. It's a beautiful picture of the child of God. And when we think about the eagle, we think about its strength. It's a very powerful bird. Do you know that an eagle is able to swoop down and lift an animal like a deer, even four times its own body weight, and to carry it away? Its grip is so powerful that its claws, if they were wrapped around and they were on your hand and it took those claws and began to crush, it could crush every bone in your hand and your fingers. That's why people have, or handlers have to wear very special steel gloves when handling it. But God created and designed the eagle. God has made it powerful. And can I say, the only power that you and I have, the only strength we have, is in the Lord. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, I remember hearing quite a while ago the story about how some young chicks, some young eagles, learn to fly. And the mother eagle, she begins to stir up the nest. And we read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you'd like to read the passage later, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verses 11 and 12 tells us how the eagle begins to stir up the nest and to remove certain of the twigs and the branches, and she begins to prepare her little chicks. Why? The eagle was made to fly. Not to remain in the nest, not to remain there safe, but to launch out and to learn to fly. And so the mother eagle there, she'll get her little chick, get it to climb on her back, soar up into the sky. This is how some of them are actually taught to fly. And then she'll flip over, and the little eaglet will fall and fall and fall at great speed towards the ground until it puts out its wings. It lets the wind and the air carry it and to soar in the heavenlies. And of course, the mother eagle, she can fly quicker than her little chicks can fall. That reminds us about the grace of our Lord Jesus and how the Lord is able to meet us at the very point of our need. But when we think about the eagle, remember this. God made the eagle to soar in the heavenlies. Boys and girls, she was designed and built and made to fly. That's why the eagle has a 7-foot wingspan. It's a very powerful bird. But do you know that 80% of the time that the eagle is away up there in the sky, the eagle is actually just letting the wind and the air carry it? You see, she's learned what it is to just open her wings and to yield to the wind. Know that you as a young Christian boy and girl would know what it is to have the Lord lead you and guide you, and the Lord to bless you, and your life, your Christian walk to be placed in the hand of the Lord. You see, the Lord wants us to be like the eagle, to live close to him, to be near to him. In fact, we read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. How important it is that you and I, we read our Bible, You pray. I wonder, as a young Christian, are you doing that? Are you like the eagle? Are you seeking to live close to God and be near to the Lord? Just in closing, our very last picture reminds us about the sight of the eagle. Because the eagle is able to spot even a rabbit. This is incredible. 2 miles away. Has an amazing eyesight. In fact, the eagle has a wonderful set of lenses, eyes. It's a bit like having built-in sunglasses. In fact, many companies who make cameras and camera-type photography lenses, etc., they've tried to mimic and to learn how to copy the mechanism of the eagle's eye. It's so amazing. Do you know that the eagle has this special set of lenses that whenever it's in danger, that it's able to look directly into the face of the sun and to fly straight into the sunlight? Of course, that reminds us that you and I are to always go to our Saviour. And you and I are to seek to call upon the Lord and to run to the Lord and not to rely on our own strength. The eagle's a very powerful bird, but it's learned to go to the sun, of course, the physical sun. But you and I are to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you a young Christian seeking to live like the eagle, to soar in the heavenlies, to walk with the Lord? Or could you be described today? You're just like that proud peacock. You're not saved. Or you think you're a good person. But the Bible teaches us that there's none good, no, not one. Each one of us, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I wonder, will you come, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today? May God bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's just bow together very briefly in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We ask You'll take it, write it upon each and every heart. Thank Thee for the children here in the church. And we pray for the blessing of Almighty God upon them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So now, dear friends, will you take heed and trust God's Son today? Just now He'll meet you in your need and wash your sins away. But if on Him you turn your back, reject His offered grace, you'll weep and wail in darkness black. In heaven you'll have no place.
We do thank Alison Simpson for giving us that poem to close our Children's Day. We do welcome you to tune in again tonight, and we trust and pray you'll let others know about the special online service. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for what's taken place today. We do pray, Lord, You'll write Thy word upon hearts, and that even we'll see souls won for the kingdom of God. Bless us as we meet tonight in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.